This podcast is a project emanating from the Black Women in Political Leadership class at Cornell, taught by Professor Kara Boyce Davies. Hi, everyone. My name is Aliana Ray, and I'm a first-year student here at Cornell, studying Africana Studies and Government. Today, I have the honor of presenting you Ms. Rosa Clemente. Rosa Clemente is a hip-hop activist, independent journalist, and community organizer from the Bronx, New York. She identifies strongly with her Black and Puerto Rican roots, and a lot of her activism centers around this. She attended the University of Albany as well as Cornell University. And although I was not able to interview Ms. Clemente, I wanted to share some wise words she gave here at Cornell's Africana Studies and Research Center back in 2017.
I would refer anybody who wants to have any role in this movement, especially young people, you do not wake up being an organizer. You don't wake up one day, go to a protest, and you're an organizer. You're an advocate and you're an activist. To be an organizer requires immense dedication, scholarship, activism, intellectualism, and how to learn to be a leader in a movement that is not anymore going to be based on one heteronormative male leader or messiah, but as Ella Baker said, a leaderful movement. So I really encourage people to go to that.
So in the last few seconds, we heard Ms. Clemente relay some advice to the young generation of activists and leaders. She touches on how to be a leader in a movement that is not centered around a heteronormative male leader or messiah. And this is such an important thing to highlight, as we have learned that leadership, and specifically I'm talking about leadership in Black spaces, is almost always centered around Black male leadership. When we talk about leadership in movements, the first few people that we think about are male figures. Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey. But what about the female leaders that have also made an immense impact to these movements or different movements? What about Harriet Tubman, Claudia Jones, Elaine Brown, Shirley Chisholm, etc.? So it's really important for Ms. Clemente to have made this distinction. In the next segment, Ms. Clemente discusses the difficulty discovering her identity.
That most of us do not grow up in organizing and movement households. That's definitely not the norm. So I grew up in the Bronx. And to go to meetings and people were like, you know you're of African descent. I'm like, I have no clue what that means. I'm Puerto Rican. And a professor said, well, you should take an intro to Puerto Rican history. And I said, I don't need to, I'm Puerto Rican. But I did, thank God. Because that's when I realized I knew nothing of myself. I had a cultural and strong national connection to the island of Puerto Rico. I was only spoke Spanish until about the age of 9 when we moved to Westchester. So we moved to Westchester, and I was put in English immersion, like that take you into a basement, lock you in the room for 2 hours until you could speak English, right? I had to learn that in class. And the more I learned, the angrier I got at my family. So I would come home and be like, Dad, why didn't you tell me this? And he's like, why are you learning that in college? Like, aren't they teaching you to get a job? And that was my mom's thinking too. I was like, Mom, why did you have them not allow me to speak Spanish? Why did you stop speaking Spanish? So I would ask them all these questions. And the first couple of years were, I was in an identity crisis because I was not clear of who I was racially. And then I walked into Dr. Vivian Verdell Gordon's class by accident. I took a Black family class, like it was, something happened. I wasn't supposed to be in that class at that level. That was a senior class. And just hearing her lecture, I said, can I stay in this class? And she said, you can stay in this class, but you're gonna have to work twice as hard. And she started just giving me books to read, exposing me to her work. I changed my major from political science to Africana studies.
So I want to quickly touch on identity crisis, as mentioned before by Ms. Clemente. I think it's such a pivotal thing for us to discuss when we talk about Black women and political leadership. So Miss Clemente touches on being angry about her parents not teaching her about her African roots and also being restricted when it comes to speaking her native tongue, Spanish. So this is just a few of the issues that Black women have to run into, and not to mention how our conflict with identity is also exacerbated when we enter the political realm. We're so concentrated on what to wear, what not to wear, how to properly talk, and of course we have to worry about if our style is appropriate. And this is an experience unlike Black men and white women, making identity crisis such a unique experience for Black women. In this third segment, we're going to hear Miss Clemente talk about being a part of history or choosing to be left behind, as well as what is our role in demanding justice.
You are witnessing history in the making, the millennial generation. You either be part of that history, or you get left behind. Or you literally have to make a choice. You have to ask yourself, which side are you on? What is going to be your role in demanding justice? What is the communal responsibility? How is organizing going to be part of your culture, of your DNA, your daily lives, right? How are we going to continue to smash the patriarchy? How are we going to smash transphobia, homophobia? The system of white supremacy has always sought to individually divide us. It also seeks to have us questioning what is the priority in our liberation. Either we're all free as Black and brown people, or nobody's gonna get free. I believe when Black and brown people are free, we will be free and achieve the essence of humanity. I believe that when white young people know their role and their historical resistance in their country, I believe when white folks say, not only am I understanding my privilege, I'm going to actively work against that. I think that's when we'll be free. But it's going to require an immense amount of sacrifice. It's going to require a massive amount of political education and political consciousness. We have to start thinking, and our ethos has to be self-determination and what that means. We have to tear up old ideas of organizing, bring forth new ideas. In organizing, we cannot replicate hierarchies. We cannot just create organizations that are part of the nonprofit industrial complex with an executive director and a program assistant and somebody who's fundraising to pay salaries. We can't get caught up in just what a national movement looks like. What are you doing in your local community? You can either be a supporter, you could be on the front lines, you can be the accomplice, you could be the underground, you could be the above ground, you could be the ungovernable. But in all of this, it requires us to be organizers. I'm always grateful. I mean, grateful is not even the right word. I mean, I really believe that exposure when I was 20 years old has set the tone for how I live my life. And it's not always perfect. You know, we all make mistakes as organizers and activists. We all make mistakes. We all don't take care of ourselves right. We run ourselves into the ground. We all do that. A younger generation is now saying self-care, and I appreciate that. But then I'm also like, we don't have too much time for self-care, right? I'm just saying, like, take a break, but you going to 3 protests does not mean you have self-care for 6 months. Right? And we have to remember the organizations that came before us, and the fact that at every turn, when we have resistance, the state won't use intelligence like the counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO, or current iterations of spying on everything. That's why I'm like, if you're gonna take over a building, you might not want to put that on Facebook and then realize why the police were there before you got there, right? But we have to think of the organizations and movements. We have to understand the Black Power movement outside of a civil rights narrative. We have to understand Dr. King's radicalism at the end of his life, what he said in Riverside Church, what he said the day before he was assassinated, going to support workers. We have to understand workers. We're all workers. But some of us are truly struggling, right? We got to understand capitalism, right? We have to have those conversations. They have to be very intentional indeed. The Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army, Los Machaperos, the American Indian Movement, the Weather Underground, the Young Lords Party, those are just some of the organizations that we come from. Some of the movements that have been resisting, the Brown Berets, the Young Patriots. We have to say loudly that we do not consent, that we need to organize, we need to join an organization, we have to support radical Black and Brown leadership with our resources, our time, and yes, our money. White folks have to do a reckoning and join an organization or start a chapter of standing up for racial justice surge. We have to be disruptive and we need to mobilize. We have to continue to say we will be ungovernable on what that looks like and that we do not consent to this type of government. So to all, particularly the students here today, I hope that this message was a call. I and all of us in this room enjoy privilege, while most of us, our people, are struggling just to get by, many to just re-enter society, and many not to get killed by the police just because they walk in Black and Brown bodies. We have the ultimate duty to sacrifice for the just world we say we want to have. It won't be easy. No, it's not fair, but we don't live in that type of world. But I believe that in speaking truth to power, acting against power, resisting at every turn, that we will win. That's why that chant, when we say it, I believe that we will win. That's an act of radical love for yourself and your people when you say that.
To conclude this podcast, I want to reflect on three key takeaways I will definitely be implementing into my life as not only a young Black woman in leadership, but also as a young Cornell student learning to navigate life as well as academic spaces. Number one, activism and leadership needs to be a part of our culture and daily lives. We as young people have to continue smashing the patriarchy, transphobia, homophobia, xenophobia, sexism, and all kinds of hatred. I believe my generation has done a pretty decent job being more open-minded and less conforming. Activism takes leadership, scholarship, and most importantly, unconditional dedication. Key takeaway number two. Concerning Black and other communities of color, in order to make that first step of change, white people need to accept their privilege and work against it. And this can also be said about Black men as well. Unfortunately, we know that some Black men can contribute to the disdain that Black women face. Black men can plainly see adverse effects of racism, but they unfortunately do not grasp how sexism also fits into this dangerous framework. Therefore, until white people and men work against their privilege, we won't be any step closer to being free. And the third and final key takeaway is that remembering the organizations that come before us. I believe this is certainly one thing previous generations of Black female leaders have passed on to the generations after them. For centuries, Black women have been the backbone of almost every single social and political justice movement America has ever seen. Black emancipation, women's suffrage, the civil rights movement, and Black Lives Matter. We've also been able to use our voices and say that we do not consent to these injustices ever happening. And today's generation of Black women and other young leaders are more than capable of remembering that and doing the same. For those that are more interested in hearing Ms. Clemente's talk to its entirety, it can be found on the Africana Studies and Research Center's YouTube channel. And to finally conclude this podcast, I'd like to recite a quote. To assert who I am is the most liberating and revolutionary thing I can do. authored by none other than Ms. Rosa Alicia Clemente. Thank you all for listening.